Well, good evening and very special welcome on this beautiful pre-Christmas night, isn't it? We're going to sing together in hymn number 631, Tell Out My Soul. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we would come and sing your praises. We delight to tell out the greatness of our Lord. And we would worship you, the great creator of all things, in whom we live and move and have our being. And in our coming, we would wait in awe before you. You are the eternal God, holy and just in all your ways. You are too holy to look upon sin. And yet you have made a way of approach even for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we would still our hearts before you. And we would remember the greatness of your grace, the constancy of your love, the fullness of your compassion, that you would gather us into your presence and call us your children. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your blessings to us. And we thank you especially that you have given us to know and to love and to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not come professing any goodness of our own, but we would come in his name, in the name of him whose perfect life gave you pleasure and delight, in the name of him who was obedient to you, even to the death of the cross. And we thank you, gracious Father, that as we come in the fellowship of Christ, in the fellowship of your beloved Son who lives and reigns at your right hand. We come in his name, and thankful to your great grace that we are able to confess him to be our Saviour and our Lord. And we thank you, gracious Father, that we come in the fellowship of your people. For you have gathered us into one family and into one fellowship. And we are become brothers and sisters one to the other in a relationship of grace and of love. And Father, we pray that you will help us to grow in that grace, that the beauty of Jesus would be seen in us, that you would give to us of his love, that we might share his love one with the other, that we might grow together into the fullness of Christ. So, gracious Father, bless us, we pray, as we wait before you this night. And in your grace, speak to us out of your love. And as you speak to us, gracious Father, give to us understanding that we may receive your word with joy, and that your word would do in us all that you send it to do. And Heavenly Father, we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we come to read the scriptures together, we will sing our prayer for understanding. Open my eyes, that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. And we are reading this evening in the book of Numbers, in chapter 6, and reading verse 24 to 26. And then turning to the epistle to the Hebrews, and reading in chapter 8. So, we read in Numbers, and I'm going to push that back to verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.' And so they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." And then in Hebrews chapter 8 and verses 1 through to 13. The point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in heaven, and who says in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises. But if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstands, the table and the consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant, and above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. And I know we haven't read the verses as quite as they are written, because I want to read some of the verses a little later. And we're going to sing together in hymn number 988, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Well, I wonder what kind of worship you prefer. Do you prefer traditional worship? All those old hymns that you have known and loved from childhood. Or do you prefer more modern songs? I want to take you back to a worship that is ancient, and yet a worship which all of us love. If you go to the National Museum in Jerusalem, in Israel, one of the loveliest things to gaze upon are two little silver cylinders. They are perhaps the oldest written text that we have. They are over 3,000 years old, coming from the time of David. They were discovered relatively recently. And it took nearly 3 years to care for those scrolls and open them so that they could be read. And when they were opened, this is how they read: The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Well, I don't know whether you do love traditional worship or more modern worship, but I think all of us love these verses. And however and whenever we sing them, they mean something very special to us, because they bring us into touch with Moses and Aaron and the very foundation of the people of Israel. The words that God gave to Aaron the high priest, to be spoken over the people of God. words so familiar that we just call them the blessing. The Lord, Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel, bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn his face towards you and give you peace. The words of the covenant keeping God given to his people. Well, they are familiar to us, and yet what do they mean? What does it mean for the Lord to bless us and keep us? What does it mean for the Lord's face to shine upon us? And what are we thinking when we sing, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you"? In the coming 3 weeks, I want to think with you about these words, because these words are a summation of all that God desires to do in and for his children. They are wonderful, wonderful words. And I hope we will be able to see something of their wonder. But this evening, we are going to try and put these words into their original context. They were given to Aaron, that God's people might be blessed. And in the giving of them, that is God's great purpose. His purpose is a purpose of blessing. Has it ever struck you that God, who by his divine creative word brought all things into being, speaks again into his created world? And the first words he speaks are words of blessing. Before there is any teaching, before there is any prohibition, God blessed the man and the woman. And that was God's intimation of his divine intention, a declaration that his purpose for man and for woman is one of blessing. Adam and Eve were created to enjoy the blessing of his presence, and he walked with them in the garden in the cool of the day. It was a blissful fellowship. But of course, we know the tragedy. It was a fellowship that was broken when our first parents committed the sin of disobedience, because sin separates us from God. And so man is thrust out into a darkened world where he experiences suffering and sorrow and death. And yet God's purpose of blessing did not change. And the story of the Bible is how God fulfills that purpose of blessing even in our dark and unhappy world. You hear it in the promise to Abraham. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And we hear it in the promise to Moses. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. And we hear it from the lips of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, and the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And you see it. You see it a little through the eyes of John the Apostle, who beheld in a vision the glory of the presence of God and heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." The first words spoken to man and woman were words of blessing. And one day God's people will stand before the throne and hear his words of blessing. The blessing that is perfectly fulfilled in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. But how can that be? It is because the God who has a purpose of blessing also makes a provision of grace. God's purpose of blessing has not changed. But how can you and I know and experience and enjoy that blessing? We are like Adam, expelled from the garden. We are broken men and women. We know what sin is and what sin means. But God has a provision of grace. And you read about that in Leviticus chapter 9. It's a chapter about sacrifices. First of all, there is a sin offering. In Leviticus 9 and 7, a sin offering which acknowledges guilt. I offer it, confessing my guilt, not for any particular sin, but for that sin which is in all of us, that sin which is part and parcel of fallen humanity. And in the sacrifice, the sins of God's people were laid on the sacrificial animal. And it was put to death. The just punishment for sin was executed on the sacrifice and not the sinner. What is this saying? It's saying that unless sin that separates us from God and excludes us from his presence, unless it is put to death, we cannot receive and enjoy God's blessing. And then in verse 12 of Leviticus 9, there is a burnt offering, sometimes called the Holocaust offering, because the offering was offered wholly to the fire on the altar. The wholly consumed offering signified the giving of the offerer himself, body and soul, to God. It was an offering that gave expression to the worshipper's dedication to God. And then there was a fellowship offering, sometimes called the peace offering, because it celebrated the worshipper's renewed fellowship with God. Three offerings, the sin offering and the burnt offering and the fellowship offering, were God's provision of grace for sinful men and women. And we see at the very formation of the people of Israel, those three offerings a sequence of offerings, a sequence of atonement and of commitment and of renewed fellowship, a sequence of offerings after which Aaron, the high priest, lifted up his hands and said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." And then the glory of the Lord appeared. What we need to understand is that the appearing of the glory of the Lord and the blessing of his presence is God's response to what went before, to that sequence of offerings, which made it possible for man to stand in the presence of God and know his forgiveness. And it's a blessing of his presence which is peculiar to God's people, to those who have been atoned for, who are committed to God, who live in fellowship with God. That's what the sequence of the offerings are saying to us. An offering of atonement, an offering of relationship, an offering of relationship with him. God's general blessings are enjoyed by all men. The sun shines on the unjust as well as the just. Goodness and mercy are seen and received by all men in many different ways. He restrains sin. He sets up governments. We enjoy the blessings of air and food and family and friendship. We enjoy the blessings of human love, the warm sun and refreshing rain, and wherever the gospel is preached and where it has been loved, there has been an overflow of blessings, respect for human life, material blessings, the warm sun and refreshing rain. The general blessings of God are enjoyed by all men, but this blessing is for God's own people and for them alone. It comes after that sequence of sacrifices when Aaron stands between God and the people. And there is that sequence of forgiveness and fellowship and blessing. It's important to see that, because when we look at this blessing next week, and it's so beautiful in so many ways, we need to remember that that is the context in which God blesses his people. In that relationship which we come into when those sacrifices are offered. And yet, how can we offer to God a perfect sacrifice? We cannot offer the work of our hands, or the devotion of our heart, or the holiness of our lives, because we are broken and sinful men and women. God has made a provision for us. And it is in our Lord Jesus Christ. God's purpose is a purpose of blessing. And God's provision, is His grace. And now God gives His promise in Christ. And what we need to understand is this promise, this blessing, is for God's own people. It's not a general blessing, but it's specific. It is specific to the people of God, to those who have come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as it were, the Lord Jesus, like Aaron of old, comes and pronounces the blessing. Not in any earthly sanctuary, but He goes into that heavenly sanctuary, and in the presence of His Father, He offers Himself, the one sacrifice for sin. And His Father speaks the word of blessing over His people. If we are going to understand the blessing next week, then we really need to understand that Jesus fulfills all the purposes of sacrifice. He is our atonement sacrifice. He is the sacrifice that God provided for our sin. He is Jesus who bore our sins and carried our sorrows upon the cross so that we might be forgiven. Jesus is our burnt offering, the Holocaust offering that God provided for us. The sacrifice who gave Himself in total commitment, obedient unto death, even death upon the cross. And He is our fellowship offering, the communion sacrifice, provided for us. The Christ who by His death brings God and man into a relationship of peace. And so we are at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. God's eternal purpose is a purpose of blessing. And God's provision is a provision of grace. And God's promise is the promise of His blessing. And so Jesus, who is our great High Priest, who gave Himself for the sins of God's people, now stands before the Father and makes intercession for us. Isn't that wonderful? To think that He knows each one of us by name. He knows our minds, He knows our hearts, He knows everything that is in us. And He knows that He has shed His blood for us. And He brings us to Himself. And He pleads our cause at God's right hand. And all the blessings of God become the blessings that we know and we share. Not fully yet, not in their perfection, not in the fullness that we will one day know them, but we know them in part. We taste a little of the holy bread. Our footsteps bring us closer
to the throne of our Father. We know these blessings in part, the blessings that come to us in Christ. So do you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your sacrifice, your own sacrifice, as the one who makes atonement for you and brings you into the fullness of God's promise? Will you acknowledge that Jesus was sacrificed for your sins and look to him as the one who takes away those sins? Will you give yourself completely, a life of total and active commitment to him? Will you live daily in relationship with God through Christ? You know the words of that lovely hymn, a great favourite of mine. The Saviour died but rose again triumphant from the grave, and pleads my cause at God's right hand, omnipotent to save. What then can e'er divide me more from Jesus' saving love, or break the sacred chain that binds the earth to heaven above? Let troubles rise and terrors frown, and days of darkness fall. Through Christ all dangers I'll defy, and more than conquer all. Nor death, nor life, nor earth, nor hell, nor time's destroying sway can e'er erase me from his heart or make his love decay. Each future period that will bless as it has blessed the past. Christ loved me from the first of time. Christ loves me to the last. He is our great high priest who stands before the Father and makes intercession for us. God's purpose for you is one of blessing. And his provision for you is a provision of grace. And God's promise to you in Christ is the promise of his blessing. And yet the word blessing only reaches out to what that will mean. It cannot grasp it. It cannot explain it. It cannot exhaust it. That blessing of standing before the face of the Father to behold him in all his glory and to see him look upon us in love. The Saviour died but rose again, triumphant from the grave, and pleads my cause at God's right hand, omnipotent to save. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads in your presence, and it is a wonder to us that you should love us with such a love, that you did not spare your only Son, but gave him up freely for us all. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us richly in Christ. Help us
day by day to remember who we are. That we are your children. And that you have called us by your name. And help us, gracious Father, to walk in the light of your blessing. And may that light of Christ be seen, reflected in us. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's 755 when I survey the wondrous cross. Let us again pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great goodness to us. We thank you for all those blessings that we enjoy day by day. But Father, we praise you for the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ and for all that you have given to us in him. Gracious Father, help us, we pray, that we might seek to follow after him who is the expression of all your glory and love. Help us, Heavenly Father, to learn to walk like him in trust and in obedience. And help us, gracious Father, that we might be able to radiate the love of Christ. Gracious Father, you have blessed us in so many ways, and we thank you for the blessing of this fellowship. We thank you for one another. We thank you that we do not walk the journey of faith alone. But we walk in the fellowship of your people. Lord, bless us, we pray, that we might by your grace be a blessing to one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, and to show to one another the loveliness and the beauty of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, as we bring these, our offerings before you, we thank you for all of your goodness, for the many blessings that we enjoy day by day, for the blessings of family and of friends, for the peace that we enjoy, the security of our homes. For all of these things we thank you. And for every remembrance that you give to us of Christ, Lord, we return our thanksgiving. And Father, we pray that in your grace and mercy, you would help us that we should fully give ourselves to you. For we confess that so often we are moved by selfishness, by our own desires. Help us, gracious Father, to grow more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ and become more and more like him who did not come to be served, but to serve. Father, we are one with your people, and help us as your people to be servants one to the other.
And gracious Father, we ask for your blessings to be upon our congregation. We thank you for all who serve in this place, in whatever way. And we remember our minister Fergus. We ask that you will be with him and bless him. Lord, give to him healing, we pray, and restore him to his ministry. And Father, we remember our world in all its confusion and unrest. So many places where there is strife and violence. So many children who are unloved and uncared for. So many who seek only power and the exercise of power. Heavenly Father, we pray for our world. And we ask that you would prosper the witness of your church. And we pray, gracious Father, that we indeed would be a blessing to those who suffer. But Lord, speak the day when Christ will come. When Christ will come in all his glory and in great power, and the suffering of your people will disappear like a dream in the morning, and we will know the joy of perfect fellowship with you, and we will shine reflecting the glory of your presence. So Lord, help us and bless us, we pray, and receive these our offerings. Give wisdom to them who will have a charge of them, and may they be used for the extension of the kingdom of Christ. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And we sing again our closing hymn, which is in number 1072. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, his Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you both now and forevermore.